There are different chazal that tell us about what happens to a person who's, what happens to a dur, that a godel b'yisrael leaves them. One chazal is a gemara shona that says that Godel misoson shel tzadikim kisreifas beis elokeinu. It's like the beis hamikdash is burnt. And another says, medrashin echo, misa tzadikim, godel misoson shel silukim shel tzadikim yoyse mechubim beis hamikdash. One compares the chubim beis, death of a tzadik to a sreifa of the Beis HaMikdash, and one compares it to the chum of the Beis HaMikdash. I once said a mahalach in this, but I think in this particular case, I think we can have a voice. Two bechinis that were lost to us through the petira istalkus the High Gavur Rabbe, the Dovid Soloveitchik, Zechon Livrocha. A Godel B'Yisrael is, first of all, brings Kedusha to the world. As a Madrege of Kedusha, there are great people, in the time of the Vilna Goyen, among the Goyen, it's because of the Ashpura of the Vilna Goyen. Every generation, the world can't sink to a level, a very, very deep level of tumah, as long as there's a tzaddik in the world that is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his maisim, with his machshove. A dur of the Chazon Ish couldn't sink to the ardur. We had gedolim like the Chazon Ish, like the Brisker Rov that was in that time, Mrs. Zalman, many others, tens, maybe hundreds of other gedolim, not at that stature, but beyond our stature of today. The world couldn't sink. There was tznius in the world. There was not gay marriage legalized by a government. There was not assisted suicide. There was not a b'nizora gila reis shvichus domim to the extent that it is today. The first thing, a godel b'Yisrael elevates the entire generation, including the goyim. The whole moral level of the whole generation is raised by a godel b'Yisrael. That's called a chubim beis hamikdash. The beis hamikdash is a mokum of the hashpoh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. It's a channel, it's a funnel through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings kedusha into the world. It's a connection of Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when that channel is blocked, the world has less kedusha. That means Kedusha is a person naturally turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a natural state of a human being, is to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be maimin that his life has purpose and that life has meaning and that there's a Borei Olam. That's a natural state of a human being. The Yetzer Hara doesn't permit a person to respond to that natural tendency. Yetzirah, there's a tumah in the world that doesn't let us respond to that kedusha. When the tumah is nisgaber, there's less emunah in the world. The reason why there is a world full of minus now in our generation is because there is no kedusha. The kedusha overpowers tumah, and tumah can overpower kedusha. And where there's a ribui of tumah, the Kedusha cannot penetrate. The Amunah does not awaken in a person to think about the Rabbeinu Shalom, to think about morals, to think about values, to think about meaning in life. We become a higher form of two-legged behemoth, two-legged animals that think only about their instincts and about their needs and their comforts and their security, and that's all. So it's a chum. A chum, Beis HaMikdash, means the funnel which permitted Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come into the world became blocked through the Beis HaMikdash. That's a Chum Beis HaMikdash. There's another Inyan in a base in a Godel B'Yisrael. A Godel B'Yisrael is a living model of how you're supposed to live. A person, if we see with their eyes, their human eyes, if we see a person living Dovik in Hashem, living to be Mekayim Mitzvahs, living to without a goal of COVID in his mind, or profit, or physical pleasure. If we see a human being living that way, all of us find it easier to live that way ourselves. When we lose that model, we've lost that ability to grow to a certain extent. We can read stories about Gedolim. It has an effect upon us. But if it's not a human being alive in our generation, it has less effect upon us. A living Godel is a model, is a human model of how we're supposed to live. So there's another idea in a Godel that leaves us, it's Kesreifa is basically Kenan. Sreifa means the physical edifice of the Beis HaMikdash is burned down. It doesn't mean Chorah, means it's empty from Kedusha. Sreifa is basically Kenan means the physical edifice is broken down. When we saw Beis HaMikdash on Har HaBayis, everyone who saw it was elevated. They thought this is a place where you can come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can be Eved Hashem, the people bringing Kobonis, and people thinking only about Avedis Hashem there. It elevated everybody because we had a living model before our eyes. And that's the Srevas Bez Lekene. We lost that also. That's the second thing we lost. The loss of David is profound. It's besides that he was a Godel Batera. Besides that he was a model, and besides that he brought Kedusha to the world, he was a continuation of the Torah of Brisk, the Torah that began with the Beis HaLevi, continued to Reb Chaim Brisker, and continued to the Brisker Rov, to the Griz, the Belville. And continued the Biskarov's children. The last of them is of David Soloveitchik. The last one that's left, he was nearly 100 years old when he was Nifter. The last one that was Nifter, is the last of that glorious chain of Gedolei HaDor. Of course, they have children. They're mamshir in their ways, but to contribute originally, to change, to develop the idea of Brisk, he was the last one. After him, people are copiers. People are just transmitting what they heard from their parents or from their grandparents, but they're not original. They're not machadish. Brisk is the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. It's the way that we were taught how to understand Rishonim and how to understand the Gemara. And even if you don't exactly not aware of the Hashpoa, the direct Hashpoa of Reb Chaim Brisker and the Brisker Rov in our learning, every single yeshiva bocher is mushpo in some way from the Torah of Reb Chaim and the Brisker Rov. And before that, the Beis HaLevi, and after him, the children of the Biskarov, the last of whom is of David, the Chonli Vrochem. Bochum asked me the other day, how could I describe what the Torah Brisk is? It's something you can't describe. I'll just say a general description. There are Gdolim that said Sforis. This is something I think the Briskov once said about himself. He met Reb Shimon in a vacation place once, and people overheard them talking and learning, and the Briskov said, "Don't tell me Sforis. I'm telling you what the Torah says," something like that. I don't believe in svaros. What does that mean, doesn't believe in svaros? He meant, the Biskehov never tried to explain why a certain mitzvah was given, why a halacha was given. His whole chiddush is to explain where does it belong and what classification does it belong. He's a classifier. The Brisker classifies, not says svaros. I'll give you an example. David Soloveitchik told a friend of mine, that once he forgot Yalav Yovoi on Mincha Shabbos. Felt very bad. He had a daven Shmonesra over. So he went to his father, Biskerov, and told him, what should he do? Does he have to do tshuva? He forgot the Yalav Yovoi. He said, Biskerov, so what's wrong? He says, now you have less to worry about. Mea brochas, 100 brochas. You have another 7 brochas. What was he telling him? Telling him that missing Yalav Yovoi doesn't passel the tefillah. It's still a tefillah, except it's a tefillah without mentioning Yalav Yovoi. Right, so if you have to daven over, it's in order to say Yalav Yovoi. But your bracha was not a bracha levatola. You just are chayiv to daven another shmonesre, because the Yalav Yovoi can't be said stam in the middle of nowhere. Yalav Yovoi has to be part of shmonesre, so you have to daven over shmonesre in order to say Yalav Yovoi. But your first davening was not a bracha levatola. That's a Biskehov told. Later I found many rayas to this. That two rayas, I think, missing haskore in davening doesn't passel the davening. It just means that you have to be mazkir that haskore, but your tefillah, not tefillah batola. There you have a classification. A classification that there's a difference between nusach tefillah and haskore of tefillah, and mentioning something in tefillah. They say from Reb Chaim, his father, the same difference he made between Talamoto and Mashiv Ruach Merid Hageshem. He said Mashiv Ruach Merid Hageshem is a din of Hazkore, is a part of the Nusach of the Davening, Mashiv Ruach Merid Hageshem. I think if I care, Mashiv Ruach Merid Hageshem, he said, is a din of Hazkore, of mentioning Mashiv Ruach Merid Hageshem. But Talamotor is part of the Nusach HaTfilah, the Sefer Abchaim. It's in the Ksovim Kisvei HaGrach, I think it's written, this distinction. Again, the same idea. Where do you classify something? Where do you put it? Do you put it in a classification of a Haskovah, of mentioning something, like Yalav Yovoi? Or do you put it into the Etzem Nusach HaTfilah? It becomes part of the Nusach HaTfilah. And Nusach HaTfilah, if you change the Nusach HaTfilah, you're not Yotze. So you say that from Abchaim. The same idea. The mahalach of classifying, which we had in the beginning of Yomamas, we had, Tosfos says that Nida is not an erva. Why? I think the parshas varayas, the Torah says there's arayas and there's Nida. Nida is like, it's like eating chazer. It's not something, it's an erva. It's a shem erva. Classification of Nida is not in the parsha of arayas. It's in the parsha of Yisurin. Same idea. A classification, that's the highest form of learning is finding out what the mokar is. For that you have to have rayas, you have to have, you know, what pasuk it comes from, the drosh it comes from, but classifying it is the higher form. Many people say svaras. I heard from Biskerov once, he told somebody, someone told him a shikol Torah, and the person said, miken zogen, it's possible to say this or that. Biskerov said, no. There's no such thing as Meken Zogen, Nedav Zogen. You have to say, you're forced to say, you have to have a proof. You can't just take a svara out of the thin air and say it's possible this is the svara. You have to have a rechoche. And the rechoche has to classify, has to be shurish, has to be grounded in a mokar, where this halacha belongs. Classification. That's the mahalach. That we see from Biskerov, made a revolution in the entire world with this mahalach, with his approach, which he took out of Rishonim. And David Soloveitchik was also, the things that he writes, you see that same mahalach, but he's a machadish in the Brisker Torah, a machadish, not just matik, but a machadish in Brisker Torah. We lost that. also, Allah, Chidushi Torah, to Briske Rov and to Dov Soloveitchik and the whole family, the Briske family, is not a Shtikl Torah. People write Shtikl Torah. You see all kinds of Shtikl Torah written, published. They're not Halacha L'maaseh. The person wouldn't paskin according to that svara, because it's just mekenzog. It's possible to say. If it's medavzog, if you have to say it, if you have a reach that it's so, you have rayas that it's so, then you paskin Halacha L'maaseh that way also. When the Briske Rov was a young man, he just became the Rov of Brisk. After Reb Chaim Briske was nifter, he became the Rov of Brisk. Brisk was a military center. It's called Brest Litovsk. That's its real name. Yiddish calls it Brisk. It's a shortening. It was a military center in Lita. And one day, in Kol Nidre at night, some soldiers came into shul and said, "There's a person in this shul that committed treason, and we have to take him. And we're asking you to stop the davening so we can go through all the people, check their papers, and find who that person is." Rizko says, "No, I can't do that, I'm sorry." So they went back and reported to their superiors what the Rizko said. So they came back and they said, "Honored Rabbi, if you don't stop the services, we're going to kill everybody in the shul. We have to get this person who committed treason." Rizkov said, "I'm sorry, I can't stop the services. Ready to give up the life of everybody in the shul." So he kept on davening, and all of a sudden someone came with a message from the military higher-ups that they decided they made a mistake and this person is not guilty of treason. And they went away, the soldiers went away. Everyone was in the spoil from the Meifis of the Briske Rov. He asked him later, "Where did you get the nerve to give up your whole the congregation's lives in order to save that person's life?" He says, "What's the pellet? It's a Fur Shadin, it's a Gemara, it's a Yishalmi, that if a Goy says to you, 'Give me one person or else I'll kill the entire city,' the entire city has to die and not give over one person. So we had to give up our lives, the whole shul had to give up our lives not to give over that person to death. No pellet." In other words, the cool-headedness, the remembering the halacha and applying it, halacha l'maaseh, this is a case like that. That's because you learn Torah lishma, you understand the shorish of the learning, the mocker of the learning, And you apply it l'maisa, and it's halacha l'maisa. This is a case of that gemara that you show me. That if someone, to know the Rambam paskins, if someone says, a guy says, "Give me this person, or else I'll destroy the whole city. I'll kill everybody. You're supposed to. Everyone has to die." This is a case clear headedness, application, because the learning was halacha l'maisa. The clarity. This is the case, since the guy is considered to have committed treason, that means they'll hang him, and therefore everyone else has to give up their lives that person, ultimately they'll catch him, they'll go through everybody in the shul after davening. Chai Yeshua, that's the Chiddush of Briskerov. For Chai Yeshua, you also have to give up your life. That you should live another 10 minutes, another 15 minutes until the davening finishes, also you have to give up your life. Right? That's how we pass him. It wasn't a Mephis, it was Poshit. Learning Torah lishma and having the gedorim of everything down pat, the gedorim of Mesilas Nefesh and the gedorim of Chai Yeshua. And I remember I met Reb David Soloveitchik, Zechon Levoche, had a long conversation with him about an hour about whether or not there was a machlekes at that time in Eretz Yisrael. It really lingers a little bit. Machlekes whether you can have a law passed which will free Yeshiva Bochum from the army, but will permit certain Bochum that don't learn so much, that hang out, they're not really Bachar Yeshiva, they should be drafted, and the others, the other Yeshiva Bachar should be saved from the army. It was a law, it was passed, and then it was overturned by the Supreme Court, but it was such a law. So I met him, and he said to me, he said, I understand their shita completely. They believe that this way they'll be saving Torah, they'll be saving Yeshiva Bachar from the army. You go into the army, you can get kalya, you can be over in Gilad Raya, Shrifas Domim, on Shabbos Zicher, and Kashrus Zicher. So they can save the Yeshiva, the Olam HaTorah, by letting these, what they call them, the youth at risk, having them drafted, so that the good Bachrim, the Bachrim, the learning Yeshiva, won't have to be drafted. That's what they hope. But he says it's not right. Same an echo of that Maaseh Briskerov. He says, you can't be makriv, these youth at risk, in order to save the bachrim that are seriously involved in learning. You can't be makriv them. You makriv them, they'll go out with Talbis all worse than what they're doing right now. So to him was a dover poshut. He told me agitatedly how it's wrong, and that was his shita. But the machlokes kept on going. It never came out l'maisa because the law has not been passed since then. And since then, that's the schus of the Torah world in Eretz Yisrael. The government has fallen 3 times, and they're having an election again now. It doesn't even look like they'll get a majority this time either. So in the meantime, they can't pass any laws. And the violet, Baruch Hashem, it's like that story with the Briskerov. They came from the military command and said that the guy is not chayv treason. The whole thing is not in the gale right now. That's saying that clarity, the clarity of knowledge, of vision, is a Brisker hallmark. Briskerov said once, my father, Reb Chaim, could see 50 years in advance what's going to happen. He says, originally he said, Briskerov said, Reb Chaim said, when Zionism began, so Reb Chaim said, Herzl doesn't want to be Mevatel Yiddishkeit, Torah, and Mitzvahs in order to make a state. He says he wants to make a state in order to be Mevatel Torah and Mitzvahs. That was Reb Chaim's Agdoz, the Shikul Torah of Reb Chaim. Yeah? Herzl didn't want to have a state with Torah. He designed Tel Aviv without a shul in it. And he said he's gonna anyway attack the Rabbonim, Herzl said, but he's gonna confine them to the synagogues. That was his words. He's gonna make sure that they're confined to the synagogues. They don't have any influence in the political arena. Or any other arena, confined to the synagogues. So Reb Chaim said, his tachlis is to get rid of Torah, get rid of Rabbonim. That's why he's not making a state, not the other way, that the Rabbonim interfere with the state. So that tradition continued, that was the Das Torah, was accepted by Al Gedolei Yisrael, that Zionism is a treife movement. It's a movement which is meant to undermine Yiddishkeit, and it has continued for 100 years until this day. It still is an ideology which is meant to undermine Yiddishkeit. And whether people nowadays are shogegim or not shogegim, maybe now most of them are shogegim, they're not interested in uprooting Yiddishkeit, they just don't know anything, doesn't matter. But the theory, the ideology, that you can have a Jewish state without Torah is the biggest kfirah possible. That Reb Chaim saw 50 years ago, when the Briskerov fought Gius Bonus, there was a law in the time of Ben Gurion to draft girls into the army. So the Briskerov gave a psak, Yehorig Val Yavar. Yeah? The same clarity that when he's a young man. This is a din Yehorig Val Yavar. You have to give up your life, and girls should not be drafted into the army. Where do you get that? Big notices plastered all over. Briskerov and everybody else signed under him says it's Yehorig Val Yavar, women shouldn't go, girls shouldn't go into the army. And when Ben Gurion saw that Briskerov said Yehorig Val Yavar, he rescinded. he rescinded the law, he delayed it. They docketed it. They didn't permit it to be passed or to implement it. It was passed, but it wasn't implemented because of the immigrant. Why? He didn't want to start up having to kill young girls. My wife was in Beis Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael at that time. On the risk of gave this buck, and the girls accepted upon themselves, Yehovah Yahweh, they're not going to go into the army. They'll be dragged by their hair, by the police, along the streets, but they're not going to go into the army. Yehovah Yahweh, Miskov said, where do you get that? That clawkite that changed the whole history of the state of Israel, because why? He held, as a din, Abizrayu da Rayas is Yehovah Yahweh. Anything that leads to a Rayas is Yehovah Yahweh. Right? So, he held it. Going to the army is Abizrayu da Rayas for a girl, because you're in the shlita of a non-frum commander who can do with you whatever he wants. He can blackmail you, he can force you, he can weaken you, and in the end it'll be znus, it's Abizrayu da Rayas, right? And together with soldiers that are not religious, bringing a girl into the army is Abizrayu da Rayas, it'll lead to a Rayas. It doesn't matter, every girl will lead to a Rayas. If one girl will lead to a Rayas, it's Abizrayu da Rayas. A klokad aloha, a klokad apsak, Biskarov with one stroke of a pen, changed the history of the Yaros HaRedus, Hades, by saying there's Yehovah Yahweh. The people listened to him, they knew what he says is emes, and his shikul adas was a shikul adas. So Biskov said about his father, my father saw 50 years ahead what could happen. But I see what's happening before our eyes. That's why he passed Yehovah Yahweh. And others don't even see what's before their eyes. That's what Biskov said. That's the clarity of vision, which comes from clarity, from knowing where every halacha, where it's classified, where it belongs, that mahalach of learning, and the tzitkis, the carrying it out, l'maise, that is the Bris Kehov, and that is, Dovid was that way also. Dovid was that way also. Diktukim mitzvahs, based on a deep understanding of Torah, a classification of everything, knowing everything with its mocker and its clarity. That was the Brisker hallmark. And that we lost with Reb Dovid. I looked at him, I saw the Brisker Rov. I trembled because I saw an image of the Brisker Rov. He looked like a little bit like the Brisker Rov. I trembled as if I'm standing in the presence of the Brisker Rov. Brisker Rov's Torah was emes, clear, filtered, purified. But emes. Emes means not just emes and understanding the Gemara, but emes to the point that you live by that svara. You live by it. Someone told me that he once came into the Brisker, he wanted to go into the Brisker Rov's house. It was a night, a snowy night. And in front of Brisker Rov's house, Chov Press, Yerushalayim, he sees an old man dancing in the snow, dancing. He thought it's a shikur. He got closer, it was a blazer shach, dancing. Blazer shach had just gone into the Brisker Rov to ask him a few difficult shilas that he had in learning, and the Brisker Rov answered him. It was so beautiful and so perfect and so emes. When he walked out, he started dancing from simcha of the Torah that he heard from the Brisker Rov. That was every word that he said was emes. Someone told me that he once had a shayla pikuach nefesh. A balabos had a shayla pikuach nefesh, whether to make an operation, not to make an operation. It was negeah pikuach nefesh. It was Friday afternoon. So he went to ask the Brisker Rov what to do. Should he make the operation, not make the operation? The Brisker Rov was sitting and tearing toilet paper for Shabbos, preparing toilet paper for Shabbos. He came in. Biskov didn't stop. He kept on tearing the toilet paper and talking to him. And he told him whatever he told him. But this Balabos came to me, not came to me because I wasn't around at that time. I was in America at that time. But later, years later, he told me this story, and he says it bothers him all of his lifetime. Why didn't the Brisker Rov stop cutting the toilet paper when he came to ask Yishayla? Why did he continue? It's a bazillion. Why did he continue doing it? So I told him, so Furush Rambam. The Rambam says that on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah to do melachas bezuyas, lefoid Shabbos. Lava melach shibute. And Rambam adds, zehu kvoidoi, this is the covet of a person to be mevaz himself lekovet Shabbos. Yeah. That's what he was doing. He was mevaz himself lekovet Shabbos. That's his covet. What's covet for? Covet is real covet. The real covet of a person is to be mechabit Shabbos. See, a little thing like that shows how everything he learned was carried out lamaisa. He didn't have any personal interest, vested interest. Didn't care about his covet. He cared about emes. Another friend of mine told me that he wanted to be accepted in the Biskorov's koil, Biskorov's yeshiva. He's a very, very good bocher. He's not alive anymore. Tukachinsky was his name, Zuchon Levocha. So he went over to Biskorov's house and he sees somebody sitting on the porch. So he asked the guy, is Biskorov home now? The guy says, yeah. He says, can you go in to visit him? He says, yeah. He says, I heard he's a very hard person to get along with. He's very critical and he doesn't listen to what you say. Is that true? He says, no, it's not true at all. He listens very, very well to when people talk to him. Anyhow, he walked into the house, and a few minutes later, that man who was sitting on the porch walks in. That was a Biskorov. He told me, didn't care about his COVID, didn't care about anything. He thought it was very amusing that someone would say that about him. So the anivus comes also from a bakoshes or emes. If a person learns Torah lishmo, his midas are midas toivus. That was of David Soloveitchik. The midas were midas toivus because you learn kolaymi Torah lishmo. You become an Erech HaPayim, and you become everything it says in the first Mishnah in the sixth Perek of Pirkei Avos, Alei Meteir Lishmo. That's what he was, and that's Rav David Soloveitchik, the same thing. Someone told me, he heard from a Talmud, I don't know where he got this, but he told me that a Bacher once went in to be Menachem Oval, Rav David Soloveitchik. He was an Oval. So when he sat down, he said to Rav David, How are you feeling today? He didn't answer him. After a few minutes, he said to him, you know, I'd like very much to learn. Maybe we could take out a Shulchan Aruch, we'll learn together. So he took out a Shulchan Aruch here there. He says, look up Simon so-and-so. He opened it up and he says, read the Shulchan Aruch, we'll both learn together. Anyhow, that was the Simon that says that you're not allowed to start a conversation with an oval, and you're not supposed to ask an oval shalom. So he was just telling him in a nice way that what he did was wrong. Balmidas Tovus didn't want to hurt him by saying you're doing something wrong. He wanted to teach him at the same time. So he said, let's learn together. And that way the person understood that he did a mistake. But at the same time, you have the tkifus, right? The refusal to compromise, Bakoshes Oemes, and you have, at the other hand, you have the Midas Tovus, the Anovo, because you're not looking for COVID, you're looking for Emes. You're looking to do Rotzon Hashem, you're looking to carry out the Torah. The Torah is Emes, and the Torah is Rotzon Hashem. And what does COVID of a person have to do when we're dealing with Rotzon Hashem? What is the COVID of a puny human being who's here today and gone tomorrow and forgotten? What is his COVID? It's so meaningless. What does that have to do with carrying out Rotzon Hashem? Rabbi Shalom chose us to do mitzvahs as long as we're alive. That's what life is about. And there's nothing else besides that. And the rest is all just simple narishkeiten. It doesn't pay even to waste a moment to think about it. That's what happens when someone learns Torah Lishmo. L'shem Emes. Torah Lishmo, the Emes which changed the world, changed the mahalach of learning, and all yeshivas, and it's not a change, it's just the way of the Rishonim. That's what the Emes is. That's the Emes of the Rishonim. That's what the Briska Mahalach is. And we lost the Chum of the Beis HaMikdosh, and we lost also the Seif of the Beis HaMikdosh. We lost this Kedusha and we lost his being a model for all of us, that we are now bereft of someone to copy, someone to emulate, someone who is a living example. 99 years, at least until he became a mature boy, was Isaac in Emes, in Terve, and in Abotas HaTerve. How can we ever fulfill that loss? That's Bila Mavazon Netzach, Moch Hashem Lakim Dima Malkoponim, Neymar Amen.